All right, let's continue on here. Now, let me just mention something else, because I'm looking for an opportunity again to continue the series, Controlling the Human Mind, The Last Frontier. Haven't had a chance to start it again because there's been so much economic and political news come along that it's hard to do. But they have discovered, because they're running brain tests in so many different places, that they're coming up with all kinds of information and knowledge. But one thing was very interesting, which is this. They put the electrodes on the head and figure out where the brain heats up is where it's most active. See? And when people pray, there's a certain part of the brain that really gets active. And that's because God put that there so that people can pray to Him now. And it registers on our spirit, because all of us have a spirit of man within us. See? So when they analyze the brain, they still haven't come to the understanding that there is a spirit. Though they talk about spirit, I don't think they really comprehend, like the Bible teaches, there is a spirit in man. And that by the Spirit of God, we are created in the womb. So that's why children are very special to God, and that's why women are created very specially in the way that they have been, so that they participate. They do the work of bearing the creation of God within them. So think of that. That's quite a marvelous thing. And the whole process of procreation that God has given human beings follows through in the Spirit. Because when we receive the Spirit of God, that unites with our human spirit and makes us as complete as we can be in the flesh. So that's something. That is our direct connection to God. See? And with that then, with God's Spirit, with His laws, with His commandments, with His Word, and building and developing the very character and mind of Christ, then what we are doing, we are fulfilling the purpose of our minds, our purpose of our lives, for which God created the human mind to be as it is. And just as an aside, all evolutionists, pay attention. Don't look at the monkey family or ape family or chimpanzee or orangutan or gorillas and think that we evolved from them, because you're making the wrong conclusion. God created them very similar to human beings. And yes, it is true, you can find almost the same genes in the primate family. Well, I think that's interesting. Isn't that what they call the Pope? He's wearing the wrong costume. Okay. It is true that they find the genes very similar. But that does not prove evolution. That proves God created them so that you could see and know and understand that these very limited creatures in intelligence can never think human thoughts. And remember this, if they have 95% human genes, they are not human. It's like an analogy. If you're jumping across a canyon that's 4,000 feet deep with very steep sides, and you give all your effort, all of the evolutionary effort you could want, and you make it 95% to the other side, you have failed. So God made them that way to prove the superiority of His creation of man, man made in His own image, man made a little lower than God, not the other way around. Now, it is true, sometimes human beings act like apes and chimpanzees, but that is not a reversion down the evolutionary ladder. Okay. So God made us very, very special that way. And that's a tremendous thing to understand. So I want to get back to doing that series. Comment was made, that demonstrates God has a sense of humor. Yes, He does. He has a sense of humor. You know, the carnal mind wants to do everything to get rid of God, not yield to God, not admit that He exists. And one day, God is going to take them up on it. And let's hope they all have a Job conversion. Okay. Now, question came up. Was the earth created 6,000 years ago? Let's come back here to Genesis 1:1. Isn't it interesting how that sooner or later we get back to the beginning? Okay. Genesis 1:1. Let's read the first verse. In the beginning. Now notice "the" is in italics, meaning that the original did not have the definite article "ha" for "the." God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, which means water, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Question. When did God create the earth? We're not told. We are not told. This is why we have to search out in the scriptures to find what else He tells us. Now, first of all, let's read it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens. Stop. Are the heavens far more complicated than the earth? Let's ask a question here. Since light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second, and the light from the stars reaching the earth are how many, some of them hundreds of thousands, even millions of light years away, some cases billions of light years away, how could the light get to us today if the heavens and the earth were created at the same time 6,000 years ago? The light couldn't get to us, right? Now, since we know for a scientific fact that's how fast light travels, then we have to ask the next question. If it was only 6,000 years ago and God is eternal and lives forever, what was He doing all that time up to 6,000 years ago? And if He is Creator, why wasn't He creating until only 6,000 years ago? Because He created the heavens first, and then the earth. But the question is, how old is the earth? The Bible doesn't tell us, but we'll look and see some things that give us some information to tell us that it was before man was created by a considerable length of time. Now let's understand something else. How about fossils? Okay? If these tests that they run, there are argon and carbon-14 tests. Now, the various ones say there are faults and problems with the test. All right, there may be some faults and problems with the test. However, what happens when you put bones, or in a case we were talking about the other night with Leon and Carol and Scott, logs? You ever heard of petrified wood? Okay, what happens with petrified wood? It's buried in the sediment that becomes stone, and there is an exchange of the wood for the minerals in the stone, correct? Becomes petrified. Now, the earth had to be there before the log ended up in the dirt, correct? You'd have to say that. Otherwise, you couldn't have petrified log. You can't have a log sitting out there, little dust every year comes on it, and then finally after millions of years it's covered with dust. I don't think the wood would last long enough. Okay? So you measure the age of the petrified wood, and it's 150,000 years old. How does that square with the 6,000 creation? You can't square it, because the wood is not as old as the strata in which it is in, but it has assumed the age of the strata because it has had an exchange of the wood for minerals and has become petrified. I'm sure you all follow that. Okay? Same way with bones. You put bones in the earth, what was there first? The earth had to be there, the soil had to be there before the bones could be put into the earth. So likewise, the same thing happens to the bones. There's an exchange of minerals between the bones and the soil around it, and the bones can be measured to be older than what they actually are because of the material that is around it. Now, you've heard them say, well, we found skulls of humanoids in East Africa that are 2 or 3 million years old. And you think, how could that be? So you're stuck with a conundrum here. How could that be? Because we know that human beings and mammals did not exist until approximately 6,000 years ago. And by the way, in some of the creationist things, and I've seen it, I was watching one for about an hour and listening very careful, and he says, we know that the earth was created 6,000 years ago because there is a gradual degradation of the magnetic field. Okay. Then I got into about an hour and a half of it, and he said, but there are times when it regenerates itself. Hello? Your theory had just been lost. Because if it regenerates itself, how do you know how many times it regenerated itself before you started with the beginning of 6,000 years? You all follow that? Okay. So that's why when you listen to some of these things, you have to listen very carefully to what they say. So I got to the point where they showed the only place on earth where they have it, and it's in Texas, where there are supposed dinosaur footprints and human footprints side by side in soil that became hardened, which used to be mud. Isn't that the one they show? Now, I saw a very interesting, that's why it pays to watch National Geographic and Discovery and History Channel. I saw a very interesting program which showed this. It showed that dinosaurs have approximately this, or almost nearly identical, the structure of their legs, their thighs, and going on down to the rest of their legs and to their feet, identical to ostriches. And those footprints in the mud with human footprints alongside them are of that category of footprint, which tells you you cannot absolutely be dogmatically sure that those footprints were made by dinosaurs. They could have been made by ostriches or giant emus. They have the same structure. Exactly. And now they're beginning to think that a lot of those kind of dinosaurs may have been warm-blooded rather than cold-blooded. Possibly. So what does this tell you? This tells you the scientists are making guesses, but they haven't followed it through with any proof. Now let's look in the Bible and let's see something about the creation of the earth. All right? Let's come back here to the book of Job. Book of Job. Now the book of Job has a lot of scientific information in it. It says even in one place, it says, Job said that God hangs the earth on nothing. Well, that is nothing visible. How is the earth suspended in space? By magnetism from the sun. And that's balanced out with the magnetism of Jupiter. And Jupiter is the great asteroid vacuum to keep asteroids from hitting the earth. Plus, there is a magnetic shield around the earth. Now, that's visible in the wintertime with the northern lights and the equivalent of it in the wintertime on the southern pole, because what you're seeing is a magnetic energy coming from the sun, and that's what keeps it turning. That's what keeps it in its place. And extra energy is generated when the sun has sunspots and they have explosions going way out from the sun. And when that happens, frequently we have global warming. When we come to a time when we don't have sunspots, very frequently, we have global cooling. And someone needs to tell poor Mr. Al Gore, we have just entered into a time of low sunspot activity. Just in time to ruin what you think you're going to do, provided Obama doesn't make it happen. How many have seen on the History Channel the mini Ice Age? Okay. Watch it. Very interesting, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Okay. Now let's come to the book of Job. Job 38. Job 38 and verse 1. Now Job kept saying, oh, I wish the Lord would talk to me, come down here, and I need an umpire to help referee this because I'm so good. He forgot that no one has any goodness apart from God and you have nothing you didn't receive. Isn't that correct? Yes, indeed. Verse 1, Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding. All right, all you atheistic scientists, where were you? Tell us. Don't start with soil. Get your own, because that belongs to God. Don't start with a big bang, because if that's how God started it, it is His big bang, not yours. So go get your own firecrackers. Who has determined its measurements, if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? On what are the foundations fastened to? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Now, what is his telling us? Number one, God laid the foundation of the earth after he created the heavens. time-wise it has to be. Number two, the angels witness the creation of the earth, because they are the stars, the sons of God, sang for joy. Why? Because this was to be their home until the time of the creation of man. So they sang for joy. What else does this also tell us? In order for the angels to see the earth being created when God laid the foundation, they had to be created first, correct? You can't see something unless you exist. Is that not correct? Yes. So therefore, after creating the heavens, God created the angels, and they all shouted for joy, because that was their first estate. And that answers the question when you go into the geologic timetable, why there are two floods. They show two floods. Because sometime after the creation of the earth, when the angels were here living however happily they were living before Lucifer decided to rebel, and it could have been how many hundreds of thousands of years? We don't know. Okay? So the angels were here. They rebelled. There was war in heaven. Revelation 12, Isaiah 14, etc. Then we come to Genesis 1, 2, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered above the waters at the time God was ready to recreate the earth. Now we'll go back and see that in just a minute. Let's ask another question. When Satan came into the garden, he already had rebelled against God and became the adversary. Isn't that correct? Yes. So ask the 6,000-year creationist this. When did Satan rebel? When did the angels fall? When did the waters first cover the earth? Show them these scriptures. They can't answer these scriptures because these are quite clear. Now, granted, it does not give us a precise time frame, but it gives us a precise sequence. Creation of the heavens, creation of the angels, creation of the earth, rebellion of Satan and the angels, because Satan appeared as already the fallen angel or serpent to Adam and Eve. So that means that when we come back to Genesis 2, let's go back there and read it, that the earth was already here. And verse 2, so there was a time, there's a time space between in the beginning God created the heavens, there's a time space there, and the earth, and there's a time space there. He created the earth, he created it for the angels saw him create it, he created it for them. They inhabited the earth, and they rebelled. And we have the witness of the flood of Noah that God destroys things with the flood, right? When it's very serious. So then the next question is, verse 2, how did the earth become, because the Hebrew there can mean, haya can mean, became, and going over this in detail with Michael Heiss, our Hebrew consultant, he said it could be translated either way, was or become. So I decided to put there was with a star showing in the center column become. The earth was without form and void, that is the Hebrew tohu and bohu, chaos and confusion. Well, God doesn't make anything in chaos and confusion. And darkness, which is what? Who is the prince of darkness? Satan. Darkness in this case could also be referring to sin, the result of sin. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, water all over the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So you see, you've got verse 1 and 2 with all the other factors in the Bible that bear upon this verse, showing that the earth then was here, and the rebellion of the angels took place before he renewed the surface of the earth and redid it for mankind. So there you have the answer for the atheist. Let's see, I gave you the answer for the messianic Jews, and now for the atheist. Okay. Question is concerning dinosaurs. Can you imagine what a startling thing that was when they found the first fossils of dinosaurs? Now, a very interesting thing concerning dinosaurs is that in paleontology or archaeology, not archaeology, paleontology, is that all the dinosaur bones throughout the whole world, regardless of how deep or how shallow they are in the earth, because there have been thrust up of the earth to raise some of them up to the surface, like they have found almost right on the surface in the Sahara Desert. Now, they are all contained in what is called the Morrison Strata throughout the whole world, which tells us they all died at once. Now, I have to ring my cowbell. Where is it? Here it is. So we look at the dinosaurs, and we look at these huge, and some of them are just unimaginably big. And one of the biggest one, what is it, that the Torontosaurus rex? It's got the biggest body and the smallest head. It's a what you would call a dim-witted, tonnage, long-tailed something. I mean, how could you have a brain about this size to run a body that big? I mean, look at an elephant. Look at how big its brain is, okay? So I've often speculated this, that part of the sin of Satan, I have no dogmatic proof for it, except to say that when God creates something, it is good. And you look at those dinosaurs and you can say some of them really don't fit that category. So what happened? Could it be that in Satan's rebellion and trying to become like God, that he was doing exactly what he's doing today with genetics? Could it be that some of those monstrosity things that we see as dinosaurs are actually the result of the devious, evil mind of Satan the devil trying to create something to impress the rest of the angels that he was as good as God? Don't know. We'd have to put that in the realm of speculation. However, it certainly seems to fit so much better than any other explanation. And they all died. And they all died at once, showing that when God punished the angels for their rebellion and covered the earth with a flood, that's when they must have died. Now, we have something similar to that with the mammoths, don't we? Now, During the flood, when it was raining, what do you suppose it was doing at the North Pole and the South Pole? Snowing. Right? Freezing. Because they know, looking at, because they died within just a short period of time. Now let's come here to Genesis 7. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 11. Genesis 7 and verse 11. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on this day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. Boom. How much water is below the earth? Don't know. There's an awful lot. Did God also raise the ocean floor? That's a handy way to flood things, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Rain 40 days and 40 nights, as we'll see in a minute here. And the windows of the heavens were opened. Now, what do we have out in space? We have huge asteroids of ice, right? Did God cause a lot of these asteroids to come close to the earth and then they melted and became rain? Just think of the volume of rain that could come with that. See? I mean, this was something. The windows of the heavens were opened and the rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. You can be guaranteed one thing. It wasn't a drizzle. A lot of water. Unbelievable amounts of water. And what did that do to the whole surface of the earth? It broke it all up. And then we find the flood was upon the earth, verse 17, 40 days, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. And the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark floated upon the face of the waters. And waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, on all the high hills that were under the heavens were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upwards, and the mountains were covered. Now that's 15 cubits, that's 45 feet. And all flesh that moved upon the face of the earth died, of birds, of livestock, of animals, every crawling thing that crawls upon the earth, and every man, and all who had the breath of life, and all that was upon the dry land drowned, or died rather. The big fish must have really had a feast. And everything that was upon the face of the earth was destroyed. And they were destroyed from the earth, and only Noah remained alive, and those that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth for 150 days. When the waters started receding, as they got lower and lower, there were tides. The water was coming and going. And when you look at waters where there was flood and then it goes down gradually, you find this. You find that something as big as the ark had to rest in the saddle of a mountain, because it came to rest on the mountains of Ararat, not on Mount Ararat. So the ark is not at the top of Mount Ararat, because with waters coming and going, it could never have rested at that place. Now with the comings and goings of the water and all of the earth and soil and rocks that were all floating in it. And of course, after 150 days, they settled. Then you have currents, and then you have tides, and then you have waves. You have these things going. And as it went down, went down, went down, went down, it laid out new strata. just like what happened at Mount St. Helens. They were astonished. 30, 40 feet of different strata laid down in 2 days. Bang! All the glaciers had melted. All the water was there. It was all fluid. Logs of trees were standing up perpendicular, and they were buried in the strata this way. And that had to make all the scientists do a complete reevaluation of what they have thought about with the archaeology and paleontology and how the earth came to be and how strata is made. Because they said, oh, it happened over millions of years. No, it didn't. It happened in 2 days. Or in the case of the flood, it happened in 150 days. Now, there were other times when things took place. Now, I'll just relate this. When I was pastoring in Salt Lake in the late 1960s, early 70s, I used to go visit brethren clear out in Wyoming. And when you start out at Salt Lake, you're at 4,400 feet, and you go east, and you go up toward Wyoming, and go up toward Rock Springs. How many have been up near Rock Springs? Okay. As you go up toward Rock Springs, did you ever observe the strata? The strata points east. And it shows that it was lifted up, and then sections broke down like this. When you get past Rock Springs, the strata point west. So you have going east, they point east. When you're going west, they point west. And they switch right there at Rock Springs. And Rock Springs is one of the high points on the Rocky Mountains, not the highest. But just before you get to Rock Springs, you can go out on any of the hills there, because by the time you're up that high, the mountains only look like hills. And I drove out on one of those roads, and I got up to where there was some sandstone, and I found trilobite fossils everywhere, right near the Continental Divide. Everywhere. You just lift up the stone, and there they were. Trilobites and sea cells. Talk about amazing witness that there was a flood. There it was right there. But also, this helps answer the question, how did the Grand Canyon form? Not by millions of years. Before this thrust up that I just mentioned here, there had to be a great huge lake that was backed up. And maybe at the thrust up, because there was an earthquake, and all of this wet soil was then eroded very quickly as it rushed out from the lake. And that's probably how the Grand Canyon was made. Not millions of years, probably in no more than several weeks. So all of man's theory about how they explain the earth and man without God really are very lacking. Now, they would say, oh, well, what you just said is very elemental and you have no proof. And my proof is, number one, look at the Bible. There were two floods. Number two, go examine the rocks and how did they get thrust up. And yes, they had a lot of volcanic action. And yes, there was all of that going too. And I remember flying up to Seattle and I counted, just looking out the window at one time on my right-hand side, I counted 7 volcanoes. And I thought to myself, I wonder what would happen if all 7 started to blow off at the same time. Who knows? Well, anyway, let me just finish up saying we are working in getting the second printing of the Bible finalized. We have had good sales with the Bible. We're down to 1,000 or less leather Bibles. We'll probably get it sometime right around September. But when we get all of that done, we're going to send to everyone a CD of the Bible plus all of the commentary we could not include in the Bible that was in the New Testament. So you'll have all the information there. Okay? Well, I've enjoyed being here. Thank you all for coming. I know some of you have come a long ways. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.